If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
And welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton producing the operation. Joining us now, a guy that I love talking draft with. One of the best guys out there, to be honest with you. Does his stuff on Fantasy Life at MB Fantasy Life. And if you can follow him on Twitter, at ThorKU, also a KU guy as well. What's up, Thor?
How you doing, Jay?
Hey, it's going well, my friend. We're getting closer and closer to the draft. I see you put out your two-round mock draft the other day. You've been busy and dialed in to what the NFL draft is. Did you see the latest? Did you happen to see what, like, Kiper and Prisco and these dudes put out yesterday?
Tell me.
Well, it seems that Travis Hunter is starting to really gain that traction in number two. And I like that pick for the Browns. Looks like he's going to play him, allegedly play wide receiver in the National Football League. I think it'd be a big mistake if teams didn't go that direction. But he is the odds-on favorite to go number two now to the Browns.
Yeah, so when I had that one in my mock, I'm hearing similar things. I got a bit more of a scandalous take with the Browns, which you might have seen if you've seen the two-round mock. But
yep.
I've been hearing since the combine, and when I first heard this, I was like, no way. So I'm just going to preface by saying that. But I've been hearing since the combine, keep an eye on the Browns if Shedeur Sanders falls, to keep him with Travis Hunter at the next level. The idea, pop Hunter at two. And then again, if the fall comes, the Browns have all kinds of draft ammo in the other rounds. They have the first pick in the second round. They have multiple third round picks, and then they have a cornucopia of picks on day three. Like they have too many picks to even roster all those guys next year. They will be moving, and a trade that would work out if Sanders falls to 15. If you traded your second, your two thirds, and your fourth next year, your 2026. That jives on the trade chart, even with a little bit of a tax for moving up and another little tax for the move up for a quarterback, which usually we see. But keep an eye on that. Just keep this in the back of your mind. In 2 weeks from tomorrow, if you start to see Shedeur starting to fall out of the top 10, watch out for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I saw your player comp was Drew Brees with him with Cleveland, and your Travis Hunter was Shohei Ohtani. I love that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Shedeur Sanders. Obviously more so than a lot of my media brethren. I happen to think that they're wrong because they get lost with the narratives and such like that, and they bring it into their evaluation of his film. Accuracy and placement, of course, are the elite things with him, and I do mean elite. I believe he's the record holder for all time career completion percentage in college football, but the placement is awesome as well. You see this all over his film. He leads guys into space. He puts some English on the ball to get it away from the defender. He always gives his guy the best of it. He doesn't turn the ball over. I like his pocket presence. I like his ability to make people miss in the pocket. He doesn't bail the pocket. He's always looking to throw. So yeah, a big fan of his. And then Shohei Ohtani with Travis. I mean, there's no one last 20 years that you can point to where it's 1-1. Travis Hunter would be my CB1 in this class. If he was just a cornerback, he would be my wide receiver one in this class. If he was just a wide receiver, So I'm just going to call him Unicorn One.
Yeah, he's a great talent. I mean, he's a unicorn, like you say. That's what he is. But as far as the Chiefs, you have really one of my draft crushes on this at 31, and that's Derek Harmon. You had him at 31, at 63, at Ursary, the tackle from Minnesota, which you've seen firsthand up there. A guy that's from Kansas City, from Ruskin High School, as a matter of fact. But Derek Harmon will start with that. I love him at the three technique. I think he'd fall great with the Chiefs. We've done mock drafts. We did Nick Scorton the first time we did it. The second time we went Luther Burden because he was still there. And we had a great debate between do we go Derek Harmon, who happened to still be available. I don't think he will be. I think he will be earlier in the 20s. But we had the debate, Derek Harmon or Luther Burden. And we ended up going Luther Burden because the offense. But Derek Harmon on the defensive line, that's my dude if he's available.
Yeah, and we'll see if he ends up getting there like you're mentioning, but I think there is a shot because of the depth of the interior defensive line class, and that might sort of, in a small way, artificially suppress the slots that of some of those first-round guys, because of the depth of that class. Could that push a Harmon down to 31? But I'm with you, man. I love his game. It's a guy who, earlier in his career at Michigan State, you know, he was from the area. I think he's from Detroit.
Yeah.
He went to Michigan State, and he played at a bigger size. You know, he was between 320 and 330 there. Last season, he goes to Oregon. He cut down to 310. That's where he became that havoc-wreaking three technique like you're talking about. You know, before it was like the more well-fortified thing. There was some responsibilities of holding offensive linemen and stuff. He gets down to the smaller weight. He obviously was moving around better, and then they sort of let him off the leash to go and hunt. And he led the nation in tackles for loss. So is hurries. I'm sorry, but yeah, like from the interior defensive line position. So a very active guy, and you also have that potential of a little bit of versatility up and down the line, and also a guy that could put on weight if you wanted him to. But you keep him at 310. We know what that looks like. We saw it last year. He was dominant.
Yeah, it'd be great to have a guy like Chris Jones there with you, too, because he is willing to teach players, and he's never shied away from kind of being that instructor on the defensive line. Where would you put the defensive line and edge? Like, what would you say are your top two to three position groups that'll be in the draft?
Running back would be one for sure.
That's one.
Interior defensive, yeah, interior defensive line would be two for sure. Edge would be up there. I'm trying to think through real quick. You know what? I like this tight end class maybe more than some others. I might put tight end three, but edge would maybe be four then.
Daniel Jeremiah put out a tweet earlier, and he said, I've talked to several GMs and head coaches over the last week, and everyone seems to agree. This draft is a starter draft. Maybe not a ton of star power, but your goal should be to come away with three or four solid starters. Is he on to something there? Do you really see the star power in the first round, or is Daniel Jeremiah right that it's kind of yields a lot of starters?
I think he's right in general. And then you also have like the less flashy guys as well, right? Like the quarterback and the receiver positions are the ones that are down in this class. But like, yeah, overall, you know, it's like, you know, usually you have a top eight pick and you're feeling pretty good that you're going to get a superstar. This class, it's not quite as top heavy. I'm a fan of Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. But, you know, everyone outside of that, there's at least some sort of question on their evaluation. But the sweet spot of this draft, it's more like the, you know, 20 to, you know, 50 range, you know, so somewhere in there. Like, I would want more picks late first and then in the second there. That's sort of the power alley of this one. That's speaking to what Jeremiah is talking about, the depth of it. And the depth makes sense because this is one of our, I believe, the last COVID year. Also, there might be a few stragglers the next one, but the kids are getting ejected from college that took the extra year, 2020. So now this class, you're it's a bulkier class. There's just literally more human beings in it, and you're going to get better depth because of that.
Is there a problem you think that you've seen with, because I've talked about it, you know, the combine, guys are cherry picking what they do, they'll do the vertical, maybe not the broad, or they won't run the 40, or it'll be like an Austin Genty that goes and does his pro day, but he doesn't do any of the time things. He runs through some pylons and some bags, but that's it. Is there difference? Because I know that Jim Nagy's leaving the Senior Bowl and he's going to be with Oklahoma, and he's talked about the lack of depth from the fifth round on. Are guys taking that nil So is it more beneficial to be a pro nowadays with name, image, and likeness, or a guy's going back to school, and so they're more pro-ready and they'll really improve their draft stock? Because I see it both ways. Because then I look at a guy like Xavier Restrepo, the wide receiver out of Miami that played with Cam Ward, that, well, he's the all-time leader in catches and yards for Miami, and there's been some good receivers coming out of there, but he runs, you know, in the 4.7s and a 4.8 as far as the 40, and really cost himself in the draft. But what are you kind of seeing here? Are guys more ready for the NFL now than they used to be?
Yes. And I think NIL is one of the best things to ever happen to the sport of football. It changed, it's because the offshoots of it and the thing you're talking about, you get more, the players going into the draft are now older and they're more developed. And thus it's, you know, the picture on their evaluation, it's a little bit less hazy. And I know that pro evaluators like it for that reason. You know, it's less projection. The more snaps you've seen of a kid, the older he is, the clearer that picture is for you, and the less as the evaluator that you're going to miss, right? Like your odds are going to go a little bit up of at least being correct on your evaluation. That give, like the thing of the giving the kids money in college, that, you know, and the transfers and stuff. I know people. Some people complain about that, but it you know, again, one of the unintended benefits of this is it incentivizes guys to stay in school, whereas in the past you would see them jump into the draft because their financial situation at home, even if they weren't ready for it. And so you'd see a lot of guys wash out. Bo Nix would be a great example of a guy who, you know, a decade ago, he would have gone out the year before that, and he would have been like a fifth-round pick. But then because of the NIL, he goes back for a final season at Oregon. He works himself up to being a top 12 pick, and then he could start right away. And obviously he had success. And you see this with a bunch of different guys where they were able to stay because the money that they got from their NIL collective, it was commensurate to what you could project to get year one in the NFL. And then you can also project that when you go to the NFL the next year, that you'll be drafted higher. So it's just something that works out for all sides. And like I said, I think it's an awesome thing for the sport of football overall.
We're talking to Thor Nystrom, and check him out at ThorKU on Twitter. He does great stuff for Fantasy Life, his two-round mock. He kind of rates the different position groups and who he likes and who he doesn't. Let's talk about one of those position groups and a guy that you mocked to the Chiefs, Ursary. Out of University of Minnesota, obviously you've seen him firsthand. You've got to go to some of his games. Big dude, 6'6", 331 pounds, but he's under that 34-inch arm length. Andy Reid, you know, has been synonymous for only drafting guys, you know, with 34 and a quarter inch arms, which do matter, although he did break that, though, because he signed Jalen Moore from Frisco, who's a big dude, but he breaks that mold. He's 33 3/8 in his arms. So he didn't have that, quote, 34-inch arms. And this is kind of a shorter arm tackle draft. And even though Ursary's a big dude, a Kansas City dude, but he's sitting there, what, 33 3/8 arms. But you happen to really like what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I definitely do. And I think he's got a shot to hang at right tackle at the next level. But with him, you get the extra bullets of, I'm pretty sure he's going to be a really good guard, even if he can't, right? So you get the multiple bullets on that developmental line there. But yeah, with him, the game, it's a dichotomy of power and then light feet. That's what you got. He got to keep working on his technique. That, you know, I'll grant you that. But like, he has Herculean power. And again, those light feet, it's why he's so good in zone. He can get out there to the second level and pick off the linebackers. He can go and hit the outside shoulder, hit the spot where some other offensive tackles can't do that. Power player, good feet. Just keep working on that technique. But, yeah, he's going to probably go in the latter half of the second round because of some of those things that need a little bit of refinement. But I think it's a cool ball of clay who's already doing good stuff, right? Like, and he already has a couple of these superpowers. It's a guy who could play up at the next level. You improve that technique. So and maybe Kansas City would view him as an inside convert, but certainly Kansas City could use some help there too.
And Jalen Moore, a former fifth round pick. He played with Sky Moore at Western Michigan, took some seasoning in the National Football League. The bottom line is, where the Chiefs sit, A, do you see a team that would be willing to trade up to 31? Would there be a type of player that could maybe slide, like a Luther Burden, or a team would say, hey, we need to move up to 31, or Harmon, and the Chiefs pass on him to try to get more draft picks? Clearly, that's usually a quarterback slot if someone's going to trade back. Like, what do you see? And then when you look at this offensive line group as a whole, do you really look at it as players that could come in and help the Chiefs on day one?
There's certainly a couple, especially if you went interior. Zabel, Donovan Jackson, Booker, those guys can all play right away. Ursary potentially, and then some of the guys that go above there. Kelvin Banks, if he fell down there, there's debate about whether he's a guard or a tackle. I think he can hang a tackle, but there's some people that disagree with me on that. But
yeah, some have him going anywhere from 15 to not in the first round.
He's got a big band of outcomes because the thing with him is people, again, they disagree on what he is. To me, that's more I have more of those questions about Will Campbell. In fact, I'll go this far. I do not believe that Will Campbell can play tackle at the next level.
Do you believe his arms really grew an inch on his pro day from the combine?
I do not. No, I do not. And we have data on this. Guys with that length of arm, especially a left tackle, we just don't have any data supporting that guy that he can hang with that. So, I do think he's going to be a good guard at the next level. But, yeah, Kelvin Banks, he's on the wrong end of that debate. I don't know why, everyone forgets that or overlooks it with Campbell, but they give it, Kelvin Banks has like 6-inch longer wingspan or something like that, 5 than Will Campbell. But I like him. But if he does end up falling to the late first round, that would be a tremendous pick for Kansas City, in my opinion.
You know, another thing is we'll get to the wide receivers in a second because we do have the Chiefs going 2 receivers in this draft, and I think there's a reason. One thing I like is the Chiefs, the closest of picks from 63 and 66, right there in that kind of hot zone, as Veach has called it in the past. You know, they're 2 premium picks they have there coming pretty close together. But this running back class, you obviously like the running back class. I feel that they should draft a running back all along. I know that they go out and sign Elijah Mitchell. It's that speed he has, the 4.32 speed that he has combined, but health issues. They bring back Kareem Hunt. But this is a draft. If they don't draft a running back, I would say at least in the top 4 rounds, it's a mistake.
Totally agree. Yeah, and with Kansas City having those, it's the 3 day 2 picks, correct?
Yeah, they have 63 and 66. It's boom, boom.
Yeah, you're sitting right in that power alley for those running backs. And, could Caleb Johnson get down there? I sort of doubt it, but that would be fun because I think I mentioned this last time I was on. I comp him to Larry Johnson. So, he sort of evoked that for the Kansas City fans. But, if not, you're going to see the parade of running backs going around that range. And not only that, you have the extra bullets to do it. You also have the bullets to maneuver, right? First round, depending on the way it goes, you potentially trade down. If you wanted to use your first pick at top of the second round on a running back, that would be a decent spot. But, again, you could also do either of those 2/3. You could trade down in the third. If for instance, keep Devin Neal home, right? That's a guy probably going to go latter half of the third or early fourth round, or DJ Giddens. You go, a little bit over to the Little Apple there. Sorry, Kansas State fans. I'm a Rock Shocker, so I had to say that. But there's going to be all kinds of options for you there. So I would advocate for the same thing that you do. I think the Chiefs absolutely should take a running back, and I think they will.
Do you like Devin Neal or Giddens, DJ Giddens at Kansas State? Take your KU stuff, your blinders off there. If both are sitting right there, which one do you like better?
I have them basically right next to each other on my board. I do lean Devin Neal slightly, but they're different kinds of players. You're going to get more passing game utility out of Devin Neal than you are with DJ Giddens. But Neal has also improved quite a bit as a pass blocker, so he can stay out there on the field. He's going to be a good receiver at the next level. Whereas DJ Giddens, he's just a really good pure runner. It's the angular. He's a tall kid, and he runs angular. But he's just so smooth. His movements are so smooth. And I think that's why he surprised some of us with how well he tested. He tested insane in Indianapolis. And
a home run guy.
That's it. He does it, when he's in the open field, it's one of those guys where he's moving faster than he appears to be. You have the long stride thing. He's not chugging the arms, like some of those smaller guys, whatever. And he's just a smooth glider. I like his vision. I like his ability to hit the cutback lane. I comp him to Zach Charbonnet from a couple classes ago. It's another guy that, very similar frame, very similar athleticism. It was another tall runner that ran sort of angular and had good vision and could hit that cutback lane. So I like DJ Giddens. It's just you're not going to get as much value out of him in the passing game.
The two we've gone so far at this point, Dylan Sampson, huge Dylan Sampson guy, the SEC Offensive Player of the Year at Tennessee. And this year we kind of went around further back. We went Tootin, Basil Tootin out of Virginia Tech that a lot of people like. I like him too because I like his speed, obviously. But is a guy, too, that can be in the return game as well. And with them placing the ball at the 35, it becomes more of a premium to return kicks.
For sure, yeah. And it's funny. My comp for Basil Tootin is Isaiah Pacheco.
Oh, really?
I see so many similarities with those guys. It's the same. It's the breakneck speed, but it's also the breakneck style, right, where it's just you're shot out of a gun. And sometimes I'm wondering, like, Basil, do you know where you're going? Because he's just going so fast. It's just, like, kinetic. But, you know, what he has that ability to hit the home runs, and he does hit the home runs. Just a tremendous athlete. Got to tighten some things up there. Ball security is a big one. Five fumbles last year.
That's
and
huge.
You're wondering, yeah, like, is it ball security, or we would prefer it be ball security, because the other explanation for it is that kid doesn't have good hands. At Virginia Tech, they started using him less as a receiver as time went on, which is a little bit scary. When he does catch the ball, it's the same thing. When he's in space, he got a shot to see a dinger. But, like, obviously he needs to clean that up. And in your evaluation, the Chiefs are going to have to get to the bottom of that. Do we think this is something that's fixable, ball security, or is this endemic to something going forward, a hands thing where it's going to slaughter his value at the next level?
I know he's that speed is obviously sticks out the 4.32, but kick returning, he almost had 29-yard average back in 2023 and a couple touchdowns as well. So it's one of the areas I really like Tootin to be in. We went two wide receivers because obviously in this mock, which it will change, we go Burden and we go Kyle Williams. I really like Kyle Williams. Again, that might be a situation where you pair him up with Cam Ward later on, because we see the success teams have pairing that college receiver with that college quarterback that they played with. He didn't play with Cam Ward at Miami, but he played with them at Washington State. But Kyle Williams, one of those receivers that really jumps out to me.
I agree with you on Kyle Williams. Obviously in the fall, all I do is watch college football, and I seen Kyle Williams and it was like, oh, he's a smooth operator. I was sleeping on him a little bit though, cause he's on the smaller end. So it's like, you know, how is that going to be? And then how is the athleticism and stuff like that? He tested decent 6'3", 4". It was enough to 6'3", 4" Raz. I'm sorry. 63rd percentile size adjusted athlete, but like it good enough for his game. Where the thing that it's the smooth thing off the line. You're not getting him even at the smaller size. His footwork is so good. He had the best releases at the Senior Bowl. That was the first thing that opened your eye. It's like, because some of those guys, they were almost doing dance routines out there. Someone had a joke on Twitter that it was TikTok releases. You know, some of those guys, it would be like to run a 6-yard route, it took them 5 seconds to get off the line because they were doing all this nonsense with their feet. Kyle Williams, it's just so sudden. It's boom, 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 and he's gone. And so, like, I like that. And then he knows what he's doing as a route runner. You know, he's one of those guys that will toggle the speeds to keep the defensive back off of him. And then the efficiency of the footwork in and out of the route break, it's why he creates the separation. He's efficient. You know, he doesn't drop the ball. It's not a guy that profiles as a superstar, of course, but as a steady Eddie third option in a passing game, absolutely. Like a chain moving kind of a guy like that and a guy who we know can create separation, I'm definitely with you on Kyle Williams.
And final question for you, Thor. Greatly appreciate your time. But it's the Kansas Jayhawks defensive backs. It's Melo Dotson. It's Kobe Bryant. Melo runs a 4.59, which kind of takes you back a little bit with the speed. Kobe.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Bryant, 4-5-3. So again, speed might be a question with these guys. Maybe more in line for safety if they bulked up a little bit. But your overall impressions of Melo and Kobe as far as where kind of the rounds they would fit in a draft?
Yeah, Kobe Bryant, I really like him. As a guy who considered coming out in the draft the year before, but he was told to bulk up, you know, it's hard, right, with that wiry frame. He's trying the best he can with that, but, like, I like his game on the field. He has long arms, you know, and he's obviously 6 feet as well. You know, it's just, can we add any more weight? But, again, very, very feisty player. You see that in coverage. It's difficult to shake him. I love, too, for the more sort of wiry cornerback, that he is happy to come down and help in run defense. Right, like, you know, some of these smaller corners that we have, they don't want any part of that. But Kobe Bryant is aggressive with that. And then Melo Dotson is a guy that opens your eyes when you watch him, too. With him, it just comes down to sort of the thing you're alluding to, which is just over the ocean of data. Obviously, Melo's a skinny guy as well. And then the lack of foot speed, it's like, does he have enough to hang, right? Because he is a skilled player. Right. So, like, will the, you know, athleticism frame combination, will that be nullifying? If it's not, the skills that we have there are definitely NFL caliber. So, you know, I like his game as well. I have a little bit more questions about his eval than I do about Kobe. But it's definitely a guy I would use a pick on day three.
I tell you what, Thor, we greatly appreciate your time. Love you when you come on our draft specials as well. People can follow you on Twitter at ThorKU. Thor Nystrom does stuff for Fantasy Life. Great stuff. The breakdowns, the mock drafts, why he picks two for teams, kind of the fit that they're in. But you do great stuff, and you watch a hell of a lot of football, and I appreciate it, all your input on that. Thanks, Thor.
Hey, thanks so much, brother. Rock chalk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.